Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 820. It's the 6th of July, 2017. On the podcast today, I have Robin Young, CEO of Ammo Minerals, that's AMC ticker, and Robin answers private investor questions. Also on the podcast, Gil Holzman, president and CEO of Eco Atlantic Oil and Gas, that's ECO ticker, talks about the recent farming activity at Namibia's Walvis Basin, where their assets are located also. Plus, I have today suggested one for your watch list. It is Union Jack Oil, submitted by Ray. Thanks for that, Ray. Don't forget, this is not investment advice, just information. Do your own research always. And as always, I have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs on the platform this morning.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Robin Young, CEO of Ammo Minerals. That's AMC ticker. Robin, thank you for joining me.
Oh, thank you, Justin. It's a pleasure to be here.
And especially, I don't know what time it is where you are, but you're, excuse the pronunciation, but you're in Khabarovsk, is that right?
That's correct. This is our corporate headquarters within Russia, and we're running about 10 hours ahead of London.
Okay. Well, I'm looking where you are, and you could probably explain where you are, but you're just a bit north of Korea, North Korea there, just off the coast from near China, and so you're really far east Russia, yeah?
Absolutely.
Excellent.
We're in one of the eight states of the Far East.
Marvelous. Okay, well, listen, Robin, people listening right now probably don't know what you do at Ammo Minerals. Can you explain? We've got some questions here from investors, but before we get into that, give us a brief summary as to what you do there, Robin.
Well, we're a nickel-copper sulfide exploration company, and we've been working out here for about 12 years. We started from grassroots with some geochemical results and have progressively drilled the project and various deposits, and we're sitting on one of the world's largest nickel sulfide deposits located next to China, Japan, and Korea, which are the largest nickel consumers in the world.
Yeah, okay. Excellent stuff. And let's go to the questions then. First and foremost, I know you've had some news that day regarding drilling, so this is quite appropriate. So the first one is you've been doing quite a bit of drilling in the last couple of months. Can you summarize the results so far, please?
Yes, our drilling program has been comprised of two elements. The first being technical and engineering, with the second being a resource definition. And it's always kind of a bit of a challenge to prioritize these programs. Everybody's really keen to see resource definition and expansion. So I think I'll limit my comments to what we've seen on the expansion basis at this point in time. Mm-hmm. We have been drilling in two deposits. The first is Ekinskoye-Sovolevsky. We've identified a large block of new mineral there that averages about 30 meters in thickness and nearly 1% nickel. The resource estimate for this deposit right now is actually estimated to be about 0.7%. So what we're looking at is that this new block is already containing grades that are 40% higher than what we previously had identified. Then we also have the Kubuk deposit, and we're now beginning to drill and see an extension where the average grade is about 0.8% nickel, which is slightly higher than what we have in the resource models. The real question that we have is, do these two deposits actually link up? There's a zone that's about 2,500 meters long between them that we're beginning to drill test this year. And if these two do link up, it will be the largest single deposit that we have at the license site. And it could be up to 5 kilometers long.
Wow. Okay. Marvelous stuff. Next question is, you announced in your full year results a shortfall of approximately £7.8 million to complete the DFS. As a result, you've been cost cutting where you can. How much of a shortfall remains?
Well, as a company, we have a pretty rigorous policy and steadfastly adhere to just discussing publicly released information. As we stand now, and by the published number of 7.8 million pounds sterling, this information is only 2 weeks old. We've released it in our audited financial results for 2016. These numbers are basically pretty close to the shortfall that we anticipate and have experienced at this point in time. But as a matter of good practice, good governance, and in accordance with financial reporting principles, we'll stay with what we have reported, which is the 7.8 million. We do continue to cut costs. We receive budget variance reports every month, and we are operating under budget at this point in time. So we're cutting costs internally, and we are negotiating every external contract quite vigorously.
Okay, excellent stuff. All right, and next question is, how would funding work? Is it a mix of debt, equity, and offtake agreements? If so, is it possible to say what the breakdown between each would be?
As we've reported, we have an agreement now that we've worked out with Midea, and we've been working with them for some weeks now. And their remit was to evaluate the markets and to contact specific companies. And they have confirmed that the market has a very high interest in our specific project. Our project is not well known internationally. We're small, a junior company, so we don't get a lot of attention. As for funding of the project, there could be three components. And as you had mentioned, which would be debt, equity, and offtake agreements. For a project such as ours, it would be a blend of financing to arrange for the final project funding package in its totality. As for a ratio or a breakdown, this is highly dependent upon the individual financial institutions that will participate in the project financing. Often this will be multiple companies, so they're going to have different viewpoints, and we're going to have to reach a common ground with them. So each one has a different set of options and terms. As a result, these parameters will affect offtake agreements or even hedging that would be part of the package that would ensure that the company remains fungible and well-positioned to enable payback of any structured loan facilities that we had obtained. So as we're a ways out from the final deal, the markets can change and result in a lot of modification of terms and conditions for a loan or an offtake agreement. So we feel it would be imprudent to state any specifics at this time. It would be pure speculation, although we're very encouraged with the very positive feedback that we've had from companies and financial institutions that have been located very much globally. And we're looking forward to pursuing these tasks and providing additional information.
Yeah. Okay, excellent. And have you put out there a figure as to how much is needed, Robin?
No, this is partly going to be established through the pre-feasibility study update that we're working on right now.
Okay.
What we're seeing is that the regeneration of the PFS, which has already begun, will allow us to update various sections of this report. There's a lot of components that will not significantly change. However, what's really critical and what we're seeing at this point in time is that the resources since the issuance of the PFS have grown from 341,000 tons to more than 770,000. On a nickel equivalent basis, that's more than 1 million tons of nickel. This is pretty substantial. We also anticipate that reserves have more than tripled, and that the average grade of the nickel has also increased from, say, 0.5% to 0.75%. That's an increase of 50%. All of this flows through to the bottom line. We've been working on metallurgical work, we have identified how to enhance recoveries, how to generate an improved concentrate, so that will allow us to provide a better marketable offtake agreement, and also to obtain specific parameters for the construction of a smelter or a furnace. So all of these factors will coalesce and should substantially improve the economics of the project based on the large increases that I referred to earlier. There'll be a lot more metal recovered per ton of ore. With consideration of underground production, the new PFS, it's going to certainly set a new bar for us for the rest of the year and going into the future. So we're targeting an update around the end of this year. But we're pushing very hard with our independent consultants and specialists to get them to move faster and to provide suitable, adequate, accurate work and doing it right the first time.
Yeah, well, that's the answer to the next question, because someone did say, how long will it take this new updated PFS? But you're hoping to get it done before the end of the year, is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, all right. And the last question is, when do you envisage production starting at Kunmani?
We have two targets. One is tied to our Russian production license, and first production there for approvals is mid-2022. Now, as a company, we want to move forward much more swiftly and as prudently as possible. So we're in encouraging all the engineering groups and consultants to finish their key objective work, such as road design, plant design, metallurgical design, as early and as swiftly as possible, while at the same time maintaining an absolute high level of standard for the work that's going to be produced. To pick a specific date for the completion of the PFS, we're speaking towards the end of this year, but what we're looking at is this study itself is going to include a redefined schedule, which will include schedules for the construction of the road, construction of the rail siding, the operations at the mine site, even as detailed as the first 3 months of production that would come for the first 2 years, which is typical of required of a bankable study. So we really want to be in a position so that we can take advantage of the next upcycle in the nickel markets. So it's going to be aggressive. We're going to push as hard as we can and maybe step out a few fingers.
Okay, marvelous stuff. Well, Robin, there's one thing left to do. People listening right now, they like the sound of this project, but they're not following you yet. Could you give them 3 bullet points as to why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox Markets, please?
Oh, yes, I like this opportunity. It's the first one is that we're a growing resource company, and we've been moving up the rankings of total contained nickel worldwide. At more than 1 million tons of nickel, we're really a very serious player, and we're located in the largest of nickel consumptive markets in the world. So we feel we're positioned very well geographically and physically with the resource that we've defined at this point. The second is that the PFS is going to allow us to redefine the project. It's going to allow for the inclusion of higher mine grades at lower production cost per pound of nickel. The economic potential should be improved substantially, providing for a better understanding of the viability of Kunmani and the associated project development schedule. We're going to also be taking a very hard look at concentrate generation and how to optimize it and to provide potential staged funding. And the last is always a key consideration to many investors, and that is where is the funding going to come from for the project construction phase? As a junior, there's always a downgrade to a company. But what we have found with the recent market survey that's been completed by Medea and the indications that we have at this time, project funding support is now very much within our reach. And we're going to be looking at having the project become what we believe to be a world-class mine and not just another large deposit. So we're looking forward to having a pretty aggressive conclusion to the year, and we look forward to providing several more updates as we advance the projects.
Look forward to it, Robin. Thank you very much for coming on. Speak soon.
Thank you very much.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Gil Holzman, President and Chief Executive Officer of Eco Atlantic Oil and Gas. Ticker there is ECO. Gil, thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Justin. Thank you for having me.
That's all right. Now, we've got some interesting news out, which is in close neighboring your asset there. But before we get into that and talk about the significance of that, Gil, for people listening right now and they're new to the podcast or they've not heard of your company, can you explain what Eco Atlantic Oil and Gas are all about, please?
Yes, in a nutshell, Justin, Eco Atlantic is an exploration company. We have some high impact offshore licenses in Namibia and in Guyana. In both regions, we are partners with Tullow Oil on two blocks, one in Guyana and one in Namibia. And we also partners with Azinam in all our blocks in Namibia. All our blocks are fairly matured, post-3D. One is being shot as we speak in Guyana. So we believe that the next year will be very telling for us with some drilling campaigns.
Yes, okay. So you mentioned the projects there. So let's get into my head here. So if I'm on your website, I can see your projects. They're on a map. So you've got Guyana and Namibia and Ghana. Yes. Which at the moment is of priority to you, Gil, if one is of priority?
All are of priority in the sense that we finished our 3D shot and interpretation on our blocks in offshore Namibia, as I said, in partnership with Tullow and Azinam. So we managed to identify, or we close to identify or to decide on drilling targets and exact timing for drilling in the next year or so in Namibia. In Guyana, we recently announced that we embarked on a huge 3D seismic campaign in partnership with Tullow. Instead of shooting 1,000 square kilometers, we're actually shooting almost 3,000 square kilometers to cover the entire block. I expect that the survey itself will be completed towards the middle of August, and then we'll have a quick look in a hope to process and interpret the results and to identify the targets, or to better verify the targets and to be drill ready by the end of the year in a hope for a drilling campaign next year. So both regions are mature for us. Both regions are post-3D or within 3D survey stage at the moment. And both regions will be subject to high impact wells hopefully next year.
Excellent stuff. And so just so people listening put in their heads, what do you know about the resource here in these areas? What do you know so far?
You know, where one can log on to our website, we have a net prospect of 2.7 billion barrels over our four blocks in Namibia. And we have, and together with Tullow, identified based on 2D at the moment, we identified a potential for 1 billion barrels worth of leads in Guyana. It's worth mentioning that in Guyana, we are only 6 kilometers, a few kilometers away from the huge Liza discovery made by Exxon and partners just in the past year, being the biggest discovery in the decade. They are quoting 2.5 billion barrels of recoverable oil there. We are the adjacent block in Guyana and subject to a lot of interest from a lot of big industry players.
Mm-hmm. Okay, excellent stuff. So so this news that broke a few days back concerning Namibia, can you take us through it and also the significance of this, please, Gil?
Basically, the Indian Parastatal Company, the huge OGNC of India, have released some news piece 2 days ago, according to which they farmed into Tullow's operated block number 37 in Namibia. They acquired 30% working interest out of Tullow's 65%. Now, I don't know, and I don't want to get into the details of exactly financial details, but our read of the latest development is extremely positive, as simply as because it revalidates the attractiveness of the Wallafis Basin offshore Namibia and all its oil block potential. It confirms Tullow's and partners' drilling program, which is scheduled, we believe, for the first quarter of 2018. Sorry. So now Tullow has a big partner to carry on the work obligation with them, and it will bring back the focus and the interest towards a number of potential high impact wells in the basin in the next calendar year. Some of Tullow's financial commitments associated with the drilling cost of 37 is now lifted because they have a big partner with them. And together with favorable daily rig rates, we expect, or the industry expect, that more drilling decisions and additional developments on our own Wallafis Basin blocks, the Cooper block, the Guy block, and Sharon block, also the Tamar block, are to get a positive backwind as a result of the latest development, alongside with other operators' current enhanced activity in the basin. So, whereas we were focused on Guyana in the past few months, this deal, successful deal by Tullow, attracting in a major company to carry out the war commitment, which is drilling a high impact well in Namibia, just adjacent to our block. We believe that this one transaction is only the beginning of yet another round of a lot of interest and a lot of activity in Namibia that was a bit dormant, let's be honest, in the past 2 years.
Yeah, so I'm looking at that sort of a diagram on your website, and I can see the Welvis Basin there, and the companies, and so you are surrounding them, aren't you? That block there, you have interest all around that area. So you'd think it would raise interest into your assets as well.
I have no doubt it will raise more interest. Talo is a big company and a very professional company.
Yeah.
The best companies in the business, and now partnering with the Indian major company, as I said, we will see more activity, we will see more interest towards the basin, and as I said, beginning of 2018, we'll see some high impact wells, although not on our block, but on the adjacent block, and we can learn so much from it, based on the geological characteristic that the entire basin has. So in any way, although not our block, although we are partners with Talo on the adjacent block, I think it's a very, very positive news for Namibia. It's very positive for Talo. It's very positive for the Wallabies Basin. And in return, it's very positive for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And as far as you're concerned, I mean, what's the next sort of big news milestone you're hoping to achieve there?
We are cooking some new developments in the pipeline. As I said, we're expecting to have the results of the big 3D survey offshore Guyana sometimes mid August or towards end of August. We will have a quick look and we will be able to update the market. Namibia, as I said, is now again a focal point of interest from the industry, and I believe this is just the beginning of a period of new deals in the area. Needless to mention that our block in partnership with Talo in Guyana is subject to a lot of interest from big industry players, and we are considering all kind of ways forward. So I believe that the next 6 months towards the end of 2017 we will have a lot of news flow, a lot of positive news flow, and it's worth watching.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, Gil, on the podcast every day I do highlight the top 5 most followed companies. If someone's listening right now and they're not following you and they're on the edge of hitting that follow button, give them 3 reasons why they should actually, hit that follow button on your page, please.
As you know, we are quite new to AIM. We recently dual listed the company end of February this year, and we are now making our first steps in the market. So we're not that familiar. So the crowd is not that familiar with us, but we are certainly a very interesting company because of our partnership with Talo, because we operate in both areas that have some high impact and a lot of oil prospectivity, offshore Namibia and offshore Guyana. As I said, we are preparing, or we are on the verge of few developments in both regions, and hopefully in the next 12 months or so, we will see some high impact wells being drilled on our acreage or adjacent acreage. And of course, this always attracts a lot of interest. On top of that, it's always nice using the Vox Market application and website, and it's really user-friendly and nice to follow. So I think that the best thing to do is log on to Vox Market and simply follow us, ECO. We're an AIM company right now, and we have a lot of hopefully positive news to announce to the market in the next couple of months.
Gil, listen, that's excellent 3 points, especially the one about Vox Markets. I like that a lot. listen, fella, hopefully we'll speak again in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much, Gil.
Thank you very much, Justin. Have a nice day.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
Okay, today's suggested one for your watch list is Union Jack Oil. UJO is ticker, submitted by Ray. Ray, thanks for taking part here. What does the company do? And of course, I've had David Bramall, the chairman of UJO, on the podcast several times. But it's an oil and gas company acquiring late-stage exploration projects and minority production interests in onshore, offshore UK. What's the share price? Is 0.14 pence. Market cap, 6.7 million. Shares in issue, 4.3 billion. Okay, what revenue and profit or loss does the company generate? So, looking at their statement for the year ended the 31st of December 2016, operating revenue was £22,119 and loss before taxation was £891,000 there. Next is, how much cash or debt does the company have? Debt-free, they had a cash balance in excess of £2 million as of the 30th of April 2017. During February 2017, they raised £1.4 million at 0.0135 pence before expenses, with a view to utilising the funds raised to increase Union Jack's interest in licences within its existing portfolio. Some of the proceeds were used to acquire a further 3.33% interest in Petal 180 and 182, containing Wrestle 1 Discovery and the Broughton North Prospect. Further funds resulting from the 2007 placing remain to be invested. List three reasons why someone should add them to their Vox Markets watchlist. Number one, weakness in share price after disappointment in recent Wrestle announcement, but a future possible springboard. Yeah, I think, obviously I don't know, but I'd assume they'd make an appeal against that. Because I know about it because Upland Resources are involved in that. Egdon is the operator, of course. And I think they're going to make an appeal against that Wrestle announcement. I don't know. I assume they would. They've invested a lot of money and time in that. Why wouldn't they? And also, the head of planning there advised it to go forward, the planning, and the committee's gone against that. So I don't know why. It's very odd. Okay, reason two. 7% interest in Holmwood Prospect, given the recent Weald excitement, perhaps yet to be fully recognised. And reason three is other East Midlands licences not taken into account. So that's the Union Jack All, submitted by Ray. Thanks, Ray. Okay, time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They were at five. I nearly went the wrong way around there. Whew. ST, that would have spoiled your day, wouldn't it? STX Energy, and ticker there's STX. At four, New Oil and Gas, NewOG. At three, Canadian Overseas Petroleum, COPL. COPL, feel of that. At two, Angus Energy, ANGS. Number one, most followed again, is UK Oil and Gas. I think the same two yesterday, actually. Come to think about it. All right. Top five most liked RNSs on Vox Markets platform in the last 24 hours, or this morning. At five, Codal Minerals. Further high-grade lithium drilling sections. At four, Metal Tiger, Botswana Copper Silver Project, Airborne EM Survey and Permitting Update. At three, Berkeley Energia. Salamanca capital costs reduced by 1% to €82.3 million. At two, Motif Bio, MTFB, presenting three posters on Ilclaprim at Infectious Disease Week. And number one most liked RNS was from MySquare, MYSQ, new product launch. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Much appreciated.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.